Welcome to Take a Deep Breath. Today's Breathcast guest is Mr. Stig Severinsen. And Stig is from Denmark and he runs a company called Breatheology. And just a little secret here. I've been trying to do something and get an interview with Stig now for over a year and a half. That's how busy him and his team is. And I just think that's worth mentioning because there's something there around persistence. Because I was trying and thought, I'm gonna interview or at least have a conversation with this gentleman at least once in my life, and today it finally happened. So anyway, little side note there about persistence and perseverance. This conversation is one of my favourite breathing podcasts, and I'll probably say that every time, but each time I just get to speak to these wonderful, true experts of breath. Stig, what an incredible career, what an incredible journey this athlete, this marine biologist, this biologist has had. Many world records. He's going to explain what some of the world records he's had. He's swam really far under ice on a single breath. He's held his breath for 20 minutes, breathing in pure oxygen, I believe, and a wealth and lifetime of knowledge about breath and breath work and the company Breatheology and how he helps people with PTSD. He's got a TED talk out there as well. He's got a book which he's given away for free now with a free COVID course. I've linked all that down below. And also, I'm getting this podcast out a little quicker than I normally would because we normally have a bit of a queuing system. But Stig has his first ever online Breatheology instructor's course happening in about 2 weeks' time, a week's time, something like that. The link's in the description below, so I want to get this out as quickly as possible for Stig. So this is the first time ever we, any of us, have been able to go online and book his instructor training course. Normally you have to go, I think, to Denmark, and you know, there's all the cost of flights and having to clear your schedule, and this time it's online. You get time with him, I believe, as well on a regular basis, so looks like a very attractive proposition and something to maybe consider if you've got the ability to do so. What else? Just a wonderful course. Wonderful chat. He was in Dubai, so he's just got this lovely background. So if you're listening to this and you got the opportunity to get yourself on YouTube to have a look, just look at where he is. And there's a wonderful bit where he describes when he's free diving, how deep he goes, and he's comparing his depth to one of the buildings. Anyway, great chat. One of my breath heroes. You know, they say don't meet your heroes, but actually that was a really, really great chat. I learned so much about the diaphragm, and he's given me a new perspective on breath holds as well. Talked a lot about breath holds with different people, but each person has their own story and own way of doing breath holds, and he's talked about that, which has really inspired me and will hopefully inspire you. Anyway, that's the intro done. Enough yakking. If you haven't done so, please like, subscribe and share to this channel. Please like, subscribe and share to Stig's Breatheology YouTube channel as well. And don't forget, we've got our Instagram. So that's takeadeepbreath.co.uk. And also we have about 100-150 videos now on this channel dedicated to different breathing exercises and different interviews with different breath experts. So after you finish this one, jump into the back catalogue and see what else tickles your fancy, to use a British expression there. Anyway, thanks so much for watching. Let's get stuck into the Breathcast. Cheers. So Stig, how are you today, sir?
Pretty good. Thank you very much for asking. Another beautiful sunny day in Dubai. Nothing changed there. Did my morning training. Getting ready for the pool, actually, but now I've looked a bit into some new investments and some things I'm doing on the side, trying to be a businessman, but actually just looking forward to this hour of interview with you, Mike. So very thrilled to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. It's really great. You are the one person that I've been so eager to talk to ever since I saw your Breatheology online. And I just, the world records that you've set. So if you wouldn't mind explaining for us that maybe, and congratulations, first of all, for the most recent world record. Would you mind explaining some of the things that you've done and have achieved in terms of world records? Because I think the audience would love to hear.
Yeah, sure. I'd rather you explain it, but in a very brief summary, you know, I'm very fascinated by breath holding, the other side of breathing, so to speak. That's a bit overlooked. I come from a background of swimming. I think I was made on a boat or in a bathtub. It's still to be clarified, but something like that. And then I grew up with a beautiful swimming pool in my background and boating. We had a big motorboat, so sailing. So I've always loved the ocean and the water. I'm a Pisces as well, if anybody cares about those kind of things. And then I just come from a background of competitive swimming. So water was always my element. Then I started traveling the world and I just found out it's so much easier. I'm an avid diver, what you call a scuba diver. You know, you have tanks on your back. But I just found out during my travels and especially during backpacking and low budget traveling that free diving or what some people call snorkeling or maybe skin diving, it's much easier and more fun and more free. That's why it's called free diving also. And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
So if you know how to do it safely and don't do it alone, you know, it's a great way to go out and come closer to nature, get up close with wildlife. Because when you have a tank on, you're first of all more cumbersome, more slow, mm-hmm. a scuba diving tank filled with compressed air. Mm-hmm. But also you're a bit more heavy with the weight belt and everything. And you have bubbles and animals, they tend to be scared by the bubbles. When you hold your breath, you have no bubbles. You're kind of one with the element. And the animals, say sea lions or dolphins or turtles, come to check you out. So it's a very different intimate relationship you get with the inhabitants of the sea. I'm a marine biologist, so obviously I love everything with nature and especially the ocean. So about the records, it's basically just about holding your breath and doing all kinds of weird, strange things on a single breath of air.
Yeah.
So there are too many disciplines here to mention. I think your audience will get bored, but we can take a few of the highlights. Maybe I'm a 4-time freediving world champion. I think I have 12 or 14 Guinness world records, something combined. But maybe some of the ones that people have seen on YouTube, maybe, or Facebook, or History Channel, or Discovery Channel. I've had a few programs, or in the US, it was National Geographic or History Channel. I've been on different shows. But those are the more like storytelling ones that I started doing instead of just a normal, can you say standard ones, you know, in a swimming pool, Olympic size swimming pool, they're still fantastic, but they're a little bit boring to watch as a spectator. So I started about 10 years ago, shifting more into storytelling and putting many layers on my record. So the first big one I did that really got world attention was I was the first to break the 20-minute ceiling, this glass ceiling, the holding my breath underwater for more than 20 minutes, to be specific. I did that in a Shark Tank on April 1st, 2010. And I held my breath 20 minutes, 10 seconds. So I did it exactly, very specifically as the year. So to make it memorable and easy to remember, you know, and also telling a story that sharks are not out to kill. These were big sharks, not just little, you know, fishes. So 3 times my size. And just to let people know, especially kids, that sharks are not out to kill you, you know, and to have a good story about sharks. They're apex predators, important on the coral reef to maintain balance in nature. And then also because I'm very childish myself, even though I'm soon to be 50, you know, I know that kids get very bored easily, you know, watching a man floating on the surface of a tank for 20 minutes. Gosh, that's really boring. So I thought if you put some sharks and stuff in there, it was a bit more thrilling, you know. And then a few years later, I did some of the ice records. Don't have to go into details, but again, with specific numbers, one was 500 feet under the ice. You know, I know that's a good headline. Diving 500 feet under the ice on a single breath of air. You know, I kind of think in the storytelling journalist media world. And I also did another record that maybe some of your listeners have seen when I do the Guinness World Record under ice in Speedos, because it's a little bit strange or freaky or whatever. I like winter swimming, you know, polar swimming. I like the cold water. And I like to show that you can control your mind with breathing and breath holding and be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. That's kind of the whole thing with breathology. I try to teach people to do these things in everyday life situations, when you're stressed or under pressure. It's not that I want people to jump under ice or, you know, swim with sharks. The most recent record that you just mentioned was the 2020 dive. I thought I was actually done with records, but then I thought, you know, Corona, 2020, travel restrictions, a lot of people putting their dreams on hold. And I thought there was too much negativity in the media about things you could not do. So I thought, you know, you have this old geezer here, soon to be 50, you know, and why not try to train again, you know, have a motivation for myself, you know, see if I can inspire other people at the same time. And then I chose to do this new Guinness World Record. I called it the 2020 dive because I did 202.0 meters, so equaling obviously 2020. So I call it the 2020 dive because I've learned within the last 10-12 years of my records, and I mean, I've done many world records, but none have been so viral or so much in the media as the last ones I've done the last 10 years, because there's storytelling behind it. So, you know, you need to have a compelling story. You need to inspire people, I believe. You need to, you know, have some deeper layers, and you need to have a good message in your story. And the message was that, you know, we can still be free, literally free, free diving, free holding our breath, and we can make a decision. I made it in La Paz, which means the place of peace. I think that's a beautiful thing to think about, that, you know, you could go to a place of peace, maybe your own place, metaphorically,
yeah,
and literally. And I did the record there in a marine sanctuary. So we had a lot of challenges with the Mexican government and lockdown and everything, but only good ones. You know, we all have challenges in life. So this was in the middle of a corona lockdown. I set out to do this record about a year ago. So getting the right equipment custom made and shipping from China and Russia and monofins and all this stuff was a huge endeavor. But, you know, we all have challenges in life, and it's about overcoming those. And so the record was not just swimming me a few minutes underwater. That's fine. That's my job. I hopefully can do that when I train correctly. But it's so on a bigger scale. It was just to show people, you know, we can still keep dreaming. We can do big accomplishments, you know, whether you want to work on your relationship, on your love life, on the relationship with your kids, with your customers or your employees or whatever you want, you know, just keep charging and don't let corona or some little virus or some restrictions shut down your life. On the contrary, you know, this is when you should really prove your worth. And on a side note also, I really think that we can get back to that later, but I really think that the doctors, the health authorities, the WHO, everyone really failed in providing simple advice to how you stay healthy and sane during a situation of crisis, corona or not, just any, you know, health crisis situation. We didn't hear any damn thing except negativity and fear mongering, nothing concrete like, you know, sunlight, go out, go to the beach, breathe freely. If you're alone, why put a damn mask on? It's ridiculous.
Yes.
If you're alone in a forest, I mean, any child would go like, what the fuck is this idiot doing in the forest with a mask?
Yeah.
There's free air, you know, so think with the same mind, you know, think with the more innocent, you know, logical brain of a child, and just try to take care of yourself. So I hope my dive could inspire people to take control back into their lives and go, hey, you know, we might have restrictions. We might be shut down. Maybe my company is not at the optimal level right now, but, you know, with breathing and in my life, also breath holding, you know, we have the control of taking things back in our lives. We can control our health. We can work at our lung volume and our nervous system and our immune system. And nobody's going to be able to take that away from us. No government, no legislation, no media hype. So it's been very important for me to get the message of breathology out. So I know you know that, Mike. You've been very thorough in your research. So we can get back to that. But basically, the dive was meant to inspire. That's the brief story.
Fantastic. Yeah. And it did inspire me, and I'm sure it inspired millions of others. So yeah, again, congratulations and well done. And I've loved watching your journey. And I watched your TED talk again last night. I might get the title wrong, but Breath Holding is the New Black. Is that the correct title?
Yeah, that's the... It can sound like braggadocious or whatever you call it, but which one, you know, because I also did a TED talk in 2010 when I was the first to break the 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And I spent half the time talking about Lyme disease and how the doctors gave up on my best friend. They said, you're never going to walk again. I said, fuck that. Basically, I really used the F word, you know, what you got that call. And I'm like, we don't have a plan B. We have a plan A. We're going to get you back to walking again. So, but that's a different TED talk. People can watch that as well. And we did get him back, much against all odds. And but the 2019 was, as you said correctly, the title, Black Hole, Freediving, Breath Holding is the New Black,
yes,
which I believe it is. And I spent half the time on that talk talking about the benefits of breath holding and calming down your mind and strengthening your nervous system, but also how I use it with the patients or people with PTSD, so with severe trauma and severe stress in their lives. And how breath holding can give them a mental pause, a physical pause when there's no breath in your body, when there is no movement, and how that calmness and that stillness, that peacefulness inside can vibrate out and be a more normal part of your life again. So you can come back to living your old life, your healthy life.
Yeah.
So that is what I also use breath holding for. It's not just me diving down and looking at fishes.
Yeah.
I think we'll see in 5-10 years tremendous scientific research finally revealing what the benefits of breath holding are.
Yeah.
On a mitochondrial level, for people, your listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, it's on the more cellular level. Let's just put it that way. It's like the energy level of your body. And we're talking scientifically, not no mumbo jumbo yoga, chakra, energy wheel, color thing, which I also believe in, but it's not that talk. It's energy, it's neurology, it's physiology, it's neurophysiology, anatomy, all those changes happening when you hold your breath. Yeah. And the mammalian dive response kicks in, you know, you lower your heart rate, you produce good hormones, healthy hormones in your body, you shut down adrenaline and the stress hormones that break you down. And you go to a piece of place of peace. And it's kind of, I call it meditation underwater, Mike. That's what I coined it more than 10, 15 years ago. When you're underwater and you change your mind frequency, the brain frequency, you know, it's what you do in meditation, whether you go into alpha, which is the flow state, or you go into delta or gamma, whatever state you go into in meditation, you do the same underwater. Mm-hmm. So it is actually a state of meditation, a different state of being. You're a different mind state. And that beautiful state can have a rippling effect on your body and your way of thinking.
Yeah.
Both literally how you think in that moment, but also how you can think with more calmness and more clarity, especially during stress. So you become more stress resilient. That's what I train the Navy SEALs in and the Royal Air Force and Olympian athletes, all these high performers, high achievers that are really under pressure all the time, because that's what life is about in competition, right?
Yeah.
So I train them to make the best split second decision, mm-hmm. because the consequences of their action are enormous, you know?
Sure.
So when you're flying a fighter plane or rescuing kids out of a bus with terrorists or something, you know, that split second decision is life or death, literally.
Wow.
So with breathing, you have all the opportunity to stay oxygenized, stay calm.
Yes.
And get the best outcome possible. Yeah.
Incredible. So if somebody is hearing this for the first time and they're thinking breath holds, what are you doing? Are you doing some sort of breathing exercises before you ask people to do a breath hold? Can you just give us a little bit of context about what that looks like?
Absolutely. You know, I could talk about it for 10 days nonstop. But let's break it down a little bit. You know, it depends on what you want to gain from it, right? So if you just want to gain more calmness and tranquility in your life, you know, I think I'm not an English Navy speaker, but I guess you even have a saying like, you know, just hold your breath for 10 seconds or count to 10 elephants. I don't know what you said as a kid, but count to 10.
Yeah.
That's one, right? So you kind of stop everything you're doing. You're in panic, you know, count to 10. It gives you a focus point. So when you hold your breath for 10 seconds, and why don't we invite your podcast and viewers, your podcast listeners to do it with us now? So of course, inhalation, you know, breathing, I always teach people, you know, you breathe, the nose is for breathing, the mouth is for eating.
Yeah.
So we inhale with the nose. So we take a big inhale, about 60-80% inhale. We smile and we hold our breath. And I can keep talking since I'm still holding my breath because I have quite big lungs. So I'll just talk for about 5-10 seconds and people can just feel the smile, their soft face and the shoulders letting go. And this relaxation comes in. And that's about 10 seconds. And slowly, I also let out the last few drops of air, right? So what's happening there is for somebody totally new to breath holding and no training and no chemoreceptors getting used to high levels of carbon dioxide, none of that, they feel an immediate shift in their body, right? First of all, a very important thing happens. You stop breathing, meaning that the movement of breath stops in your body. Now, it's never stopped before. You haven't done breath holding. So maybe you're 30 years old, 50 years old, 80 years old, listening to this program, you have never stopped your breathing. Maybe if you saw something incredibly beautiful, you know, you have this term that I think is pretty beautiful in itself called breathless, you know, but it can also be out of fear. If you panic or you're very afraid in a state of fear, you freeze, you say in English, right? You freeze. So you stop breathing because you're just overwhelmed. But if you do it with love and with intention and with awareness, with consciousness, then it's a great pause because it's the first time maybe in your life that you don't have a movement that is always there, the subtle movement of breathing. And in this day and age, most of us are not breathing optimally. So that is what I'm trying to change with breathology. You know, breathology is kind of like biology, which means the science of life. You know, breathology is the science of breathing and the learning of breathing and the understanding and implementation of proper breathing, right? Yes. So we breathe about 20 to 30,000 times a day. Most people have no clue about it. It's a lot of breathing. Imagine if you did 30,000 push-ups a day, you would be super fit, right? So the unfortunate thing is that since it's automated, it's an automatic process, you know, we just do it, but we do it wrongly. And we don't have a culture where in school, we're telling the kids how to do it. They know how to do it when they're young and innocent, but then the stress starts to come. They need to be on Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and TikTok and whatnot. They need the right clothing. They need, you know, soon when they're teenagers, they need boobs and a lip job, you know. It's a crazy world we live in, you know, yes. And they grow up so fast. So then, as all other kids, you know, they get confused, overwhelmed, they get, you know, attention deficit disorders and all these things that we tried, not we, but that the crazy doctors tried to fix with medicine, Ritalin, just, you know, drugs, numbing them, basically. You could also just give them whiskey. If you gave them, you know, half a bottle of whiskey, they would also be very relaxed and lazy and not having the attention all over the place. So you could give them whatever drugs. But why not just use the natural drug of breathing? Using your body as it's intended to calm your mind, lower your heart rate, get away from all the hypertension and the blood pushing much harder than needed. Because what's happening is if you're not breathing efficiently, your body doesn't care what you're doing. If you're stressed or losing money or leaving your wife, the body doesn't care. The body just wants oxygen. That's the number one thing for the body. We're aerobic organisms. We need oxygen in every single cell. We have about 50 trillion cells. It's an astronomical number, and they need oxygen. So if we're not breathing correctly, the body is trying to compensate in different ways. So back to my point here of my rambling with breathing and breath holding. When you breathe 20 to 30,000 times each day, it's an invitation to do it better. Yes. And with breathology, the main goal, our highest goal, is to help and educate and teach people how to breathe better. So our motto is making the world breathe better, one breath at a time. You know, it's one step at a time. I'm a big fan of this baby steps. You know, don't want too much too fast. Have patience, have persistency, then the results will come. So again, back to before, if you start to realize, oh my goodness, with breathing, I can learn to stay calm. I can be more stress resilient in any situation in life. We call it becoming comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. And that's where breath holding comes in. Because if you can start to hold your breath for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you can do anything in life. And that goes back to the old pranayama, the fourth element of yoga, which is the fourth limb, where you combine the physical world, the asana, the you can call it stretching and fitness in our modern world, but the physical activity, the body exercises in yoga, with the mind stuff, with the meditation, with the higher levels in the development of yoga to get to the eighth limb, the samadhi, paradise, nirvana, enlightenment, you call it, right?
Right.
Which we see in all cultures and traditions, by the way, whether it's, you know, Buddhist or Muslim or Christian, we always see this light, or Buddha, you know, has this kind of shimmering light. So that's kind of some higher level light and connection with earth and connectivity. So back to my main point, breathing is a true reflection of who you are, how you feel, how you're doing, how you're performing, how you're not performing. So you cannot fake breathing, you know, with clothes and lips and tits and all this high heel shoes. We can fake everything, makeup and all this stuff, hair extensions, whatnot. You know, the outer appearance can be fake, but inside you can't cheat it. So your breathing is a true reflection of how you are doing and how you're feeling. So your emotional life, your maybe even your spiritual, you know, existential life. So with physical, you know, taking hold of that breathing, little pause, and just relaxing your shoulders, smiling, appreciating everything in your life, just appreciating the bare fact that you're breathing right now. That brings you, you know, back to centering yourself. And that is the secret of yoga, you know, of all thousands of times, and not just yoga, but all breath secrets of all different religions and different cultures for thousands of years, millennia, right? That you have this power to take this divine life energy and control it. So pranayama from India, where they're really, really big on it, in the yogic scriptures, it means regulating the life force or controlling the life force. Prana is life force or life energy, and yama or ayam means regulation, control, distribution, management, stuff like that. So with breathing, you have life energy management, which is true. You know, try not breathing for half an hour, seeing how that goes. You know, you end up dead. So when you stop breathing, you also appreciate more the fact that you're a breathing being, right?
Yes.
And it brings you peace, because when your diaphragm is not moving, like I was saying, to round all this rambling up, so people kind of get the point. When your diaphragm moves up and down, your breathing muscle, as I call it, you know, you have some movement in your body. But the moment you stop breathing, just for 10 seconds, which is easy, by the way, everyone listening, you can hold your breath for 10 seconds. You have lots of oxygen in your blood. It's all good. Big lungs, everything's okay. But the change is that you stop breathing. You stop having that movement in your body. So now if you're breathing out of comfort and relaxed, that's good. But if you're breathing, as I said, is always a reflection of your mind state. And if you're stressed, maybe you're doing mouth breathing, the worst breathing you can do, maybe you're a chest breather. And by the way, mouth breathing leads to chest breathing, because you're using the hole, the big throat hole, you know. So you're not controlling the flow of air, which is why you should use the nose for a million different reasons. But it's mainly air flow control, another term I've coined a long time ago. You know, air flow control gives you breath control. So because your nostrils are smaller, this is just pure anatomy and physiology. So if your breathing is a reflection of how you're doing and how you're not doing well, and you're stressed and you're uneasy in life, then your brain registers that, and your soul registers that on a higher level. It means it knows you're uneasy, it knows you're stressed, to use a modern general term. You're stressed, you know, you're feeling fucking stressed and uncomfortable and not really focused on life or happy. You don't feel happy, you know, when you're uneasy and stressed, you don't really feel happy. You're in survival mode. So when you stop breathing, you also stop that uneasy feeling. That's the point I wanted to get to here after 10 minutes of rambling. So the beautiful thing about simplistic breath holding, that is not to yet to train your lungs to become stronger or have more resilience or more affinity or more tolerance to high levels of CO2 that I train athletes and soldiers and stuff like that. No, we're not even going there yet. We're talking baby steps.
Yes.
So just holding your breath for 10 seconds can get you out of that dull place, out of that depressive state, out of that unknown, unconscious feeling of not feeling well, because your breathing is telling you you're not doing well. Even at sleep at night, when you have a bad nervous system that is skewed, it's kind of off the wire, it's whacked a bit, it's not really balanced.
Yes.
Between parasympathetic and sympathetic activation, it's not balanced. That goes with you in your sleep. I kind of try to use the image also. When you go running half an hour, which I do every morning, you know, you get in better shape. It's cardiovascular training. It means it's heart, blood system training, right? Well, when you go to sleep at night, it still sits with you. You're still getting a better cardio at night, because your heart is working better, the heart muscle, the pump is stronger, and your blood vessels are more flexible.
Yes.
This is a huge issue for people with stroke and different things with cardiovascular disease, that the smooth muscles in the membranes, in the walls of the blood vessels, they get too rigid.
Mm.
It's a huge problem. So with running and breathing, you exercise all that. It's almost like doing flexibility stretching with your legs and arms, but you do it inside, internally. So when you do running in the morning, that also helps you sleep better at night, because your machine is functioning better.
Yes.
So my point is, if you do breathing for 5 minutes of breath holding, that will continue to go with you during the day. It's not just, oh, I did 5 minutes of breathing, now it's done. It's like if you eat an orange in the morning, you still have the vitamin C in your bloodstream at night.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you ate the orange and it's gone. You understand?
Yes.
So people need to look at a bigger perspective on the compound effect. And then if you do breathing twice a day, you know, maybe before your lunch break, maybe you do it again to fall asleep. So you again, calm down your mind. Maybe you appreciate some good things that happened during the day and that you have this fresh air that you can actually breathe. You can go and put on the water tap, you know, and you can drink a glass of water and you can think of the 200 million people in Africa or 800 million, I don't know, that don't have clear running water, or India, Peru, or South America, whatever place.
Yeah.
You know, we have so many things to be thankful for. So breathing leads you into a place where you become more conscious about the things that you should appreciate in life.
Beautiful. No, thank you for explaining that. And I love listening to you talk about breathing as well. You just have a very calming effect in your voice, especially when you're guiding the breath in and out, Stig. So it's lovely to hear you talk about it with such passion.
I think I'm too enthusiastic. I stress people.
Well, not me. That's a good segue, actually. So I want to just talk a little bit more about relaxation. You've just touched on it a little bit there, but I would be good to get your thoughts.
Yeah.
Do you need to relax to do good breath work, or does good breath work cause relaxation? It's like a chicken and egg, or are both elements true? So it'd be good to get your thoughts on relaxation and trying to calm down.
Yeah. It's both the chicken and the egg, and it's both true. And I was kind of making a joke before, but I can come across as a bit stressful or very high energy. And that can stress some people when they're not used to it, or it can surprise them. But mostly of all in this world, I just hope to inspire people. Bring knowledge. You know, I have a background. I'm a biologist, PhD in medicine as well. So I have a basic understanding of the body and the mind, how it works. And I just hope to inspire people to just take those baby steps and go down the route. I mean, you're an expert on breathing yourself. You've studied all kinds of schools and disciplines, we can call them, different routes. And I don't care which route people do, as long as it just gets started. That's my main point. But yeah, in breathology, to speak about my own system, the breathology method, you know, all roads lead to Rome. Whether you take this or 10 other breathing lessons, it's up to you. You know, people can decide and make up their mind. But I think what is different in our system than any other system is that we start from relaxation, which is a paradox almost, since I'm this crazy hyperactive, you know, wild guy. But when I do my breath holding and what I told you, I called, and your listeners, I call it, or the viewers, if it's YouTube, I call it meditation underwater. So in my life, I'm incredibly good at relaxing. Maybe not in everyday life, maybe not in business situations, maybe not if I feel I'm being done wrong, or, you know, if things are not just. I have a very, very big sense of justice and equality and stuff like that. I get really fired up if I see things being done in a wrong way. For example, with the corona crisis, you know, ridiculous management or lack of leadership basically all around the globe. Which is also, by the way, why I put out the Corona Breath Training program for free in March and gave my book away to the world. Mm. Best-selling book, 10 languages, take it. I thought it could be, you know, doing better to give it for free to everyone when it was needed, and just trying to sell a book.
Yes.
But back to your question, we always start with relaxation, and I have this ability to relax, even though it sounds impossible because I'm this maniac. But for me, I think it's also about balancing my life. You know, I'm very high energy. I was always very positive in life. As a kid, I ran around like crazy. I didn't do legal things, but I did naughty things. You know, I was always very curious, I would say. I was not a bad child. I was just very curious and exploring and investigating and, you know, always on adventures. But I also have this stillness. You know, I have this place of going to a place of peace. And when I was very young, well, two things happened kind of. First of all, I was a competitive swimmer. I got elected for the talent team at the age of 5. I already did baby swimming and swimming in my pool back home and collecting little plastic animals in a bucket underwater on a single breath of air. Made a little free diving club with my neighbor and my brother, younger brother. And this neighbor turned out later to become an elite soldier. So kind of funny how things in your childhood define your future, right?
Yeah.
But I found out that, of course, I could never outswim the older boys in swimming. That's physically impossible when you're 8 or 9, and these guys are teenagers with pubic hairs and, you know, voices and stuff. But I found out that in long distance swimming, I could outperform them, because I was incredibly good at relaxing. And when you learn how to relax, not only can you learn to do proper breathing, that goes without saying, you know, you're relaxing your diaphragm, you're relaxing your neck, relaxing your tongue, relaxing your jaw, which is one of the main issues. People always tense in the jaw because we use these muscles to talk and to chew food, and tension just sits here between the brain and the body, kind of sits in the jaw. And I just had a natural ability to relax. Nobody knows why. God gave me a gift. I don't know. I could just relax. As hyperactive as I was as a child, I could totally turn off. So when you relax underwater or on land, you can hold your breath longer because you use less oxygen. Yes. Your brain goes into a different place, like kind of a meditative, like a shimmering place. I go out of my body, out of time. It's what you call flow in sports psychology. I am also very privileged and honored to know Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, who coined the term flow. He's a world-renowned psychologist in positive psychology and happiness. And I've been trained with him and lecturing for his PhD students. And flow is just when time disappears and you become what you do.
Yes.
There's about 17 key terms, but if we keep it simple, it's about becoming one with the moment. And you feel you're perfect. You're not thinking about the past or the future. So it's like the breathing. It can bring you back to the present moment, but also in your mind and flow, you're in the present moment. Because if you're in the future, in the past, you're out of flow, right? You cannot consciously be aware that you're in flow.
Yes.
If you go, yeah, I'm in flow now. No, you're not, because you're speaking to yourself and you went out of flow.
Yeah.
But anyways, when you learn to relax, you can hold your breath longer. So I that happened. Then another thing happened that most people probably won't know. When I was about 6 or 7, we were given guinea pigs by my parents, my sweet, loving parents, just out of, we had all sorts of animals. But I developed severe asthma.
Right.
From the guinea pigs, from the fur, all this hair, and from all the grass and all this stuff we dragged into the kitchen. We had them in our kitchen. And I developed severe asthma. And I think, you know, going back to what I said before, as a child, so many things, you don't think about them, but they define your path in life beyond ways you can even fathom. You know, you can't even imagine what path you're going to be led on. Mm. So I felt my teeth were too big. I couldn't breathe. I remember this horrible feeling of not getting enough air at night. And I think that led me into a self-healing journey with breathing. And especially when I was underwater and relaxing, you know, all that went away because I didn't need to breathe, if it makes sense. Mm. So I had many reasons to kind of hold my breath. And then later in life, when I became a scientist and when I started training, I've trained thousands of people now. And I started getting feedback from all these people I were training, mostly long time ago, 20 years ago, 21 years ago, I created a freediving club called Aarhus Freediving Club back in Denmark, still existing. And we had more and more of students saying that they stopped having problems with asthma and allergies. I was like, oh my goodness, that's incredible. And later on, when I was teaching at yoga studios, one of them was a yoga studio owner, the biggest studio in Copenhagen called Copenhagen Yoga. And he totally put all, he was in his mid-50s, he put all his medication, all the asthma medication and inhalers on the shelf. The doctors didn't believe him. And he started to train and he got up to 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes breath holds. And he never had more free breathing. Now, this was a yoga teacher doing yoga for 20, 25 years. But the breath holding and that pranayama aspect of playing with that side of breathing, which is why I call the TED Talk Breath Holding is the New Black, it has so much potential that we don't even realize it yet. Maybe they knew it thousands of years ago, why yes. They used it in India and other cultures, but we have forgotten it. So it's kind of a lost science. And I just saw all these benefits with people. I also mentioned one or two of them in my book, Breathology, the Art of Conscious Breathing, that I mentioned is free for download in the electronic format, PDF format on my website in 10 languages, Chinese, Russian, French, German, whatever, Spanish, Italian, whatever language you want to send your friend or download yourself. And I mentioned these people and they have, you know, given testimonials how they have stopped, you know, their medication and how they breathe much more freely. I know Butoyko, some people that are watching your show probably also big in breathing style. So Butoyko was a Russian doctor who he was not a doctor. He was actually just working with clients, but he found out that through changing the rhythm of breath and a little bit of breath holding, a bit of what I do, getting levels of CO2 to rise, you also could have an outstanding result on asthma and patients with asthma and breathing problems. So it's kind of just learning by doing, practicing all these things, you know, putting it into your body and into and to the test. And that's what I love with breath holding. The more you can relax, the longer you can hold your breath. There's a direct proportionality. So people can just start to see, you know, in the morning, and never hold your breath, by the way, alone in water. It's, you know, deadly dangerous if you drown, if you fall unconscious and drown. Only do it with a professional freediving trainer, but breath holding on land, you can do. Yeah. So when you wake up in the morning, you can try to hold your breath for half a minute. The next day, go for 45 seconds. Next day, 1 minute, go up, build up to 2-3 minutes. And if people are curious, we have something called the 7 days breath hold challenge on our website. You can put a link later, but free 7 days of training, my best advice. And people usually double, sometimes triple their breath hold in 1 week.
Wow.
Imagine if you could triple your strength or your income in 1 week. That would be quite extraordinary.
Very. Wow.
So yeah, relaxation is important. But then going back to what you said with the chicken and the egg, with breathing, so relaxation comes first. And then I always teach people the key to relaxation is in the exhalation. It's like a little poem or a little saying, right? But it is, because when we inhale, have a slight pause and exhale slowly. A good letting go breath, you know, no tension in your neck, smiling, your jaw becomes soft, your eyelids become soft, your forehead stretches out all the wrinkles. You turn on the vagus nerve. You trigger the 10th cranial nerve that we all have. We have 12 of them in total, but the 10th is one of the most amazing nerves because it's the relaxation nerve. Mm. And the vagus nerve is a major part of what you call the parasympathetic nervous system. So in layman terms, called rest and digest. So it's a system that rebuilds your body, puts your mind back into a good place. It restores your, if you have a scratch on your arm, you know, any cuts and stuff like that, but also internally, you know, it improves your digestion. So basically that's why it's called rest and digest. It gives you rest, it gives you better sleep, but it also makes you digest the food, the nutrients, everything you have in your body. And with slow exhale, you turn on the vagus nerve. So you can say physically or simplistically, you can decide now you want to relax, because it's very difficult from your mind. And I think that's the greatest mistake of this century of modern thinking, that with psychology and psychoanalysis and psychotherapy, you can talk with people, for example, with PTSD and trauma. I was always like, bullshit, bullshit. Why? You know, I'm not saying it's not working for some or it cannot have some benefits, but my image is very simple. When you have a severe trauma in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, it's like your computer is on overdrive, right? Your hard disk is full. That's basically what it is. You can't take, you don't want to go and buy flowers. You don't want to start a company. You don't even want to make love, even though she's a beautiful woman or your wife. You're just saturated. You're done, right? You're certainly not your most creative, you know, being. So your hard drive is full. Now, it doesn't help you that other people come with all these great psychological decisions and making and talking about things. And, you know, I even always had this feeling, why talk about this so much? It's going to make it worse. And then recently I heard something called re-traumatization. So when you keep talking about something bad that happened, you can be re-traumatized, but of course you can. Any idiot could imagine, of course that happens, you know? So my point is, when your hard drive is full, you cannot put more in there. So try to unsolve or clear your thinking with thinking, or clear emotional life that is connected with your thinking and your rationality. With thinking, it's not gonna work. The hard drive is full, you cannot put in another RAM. You know, there is no more space. Now with breathing, you do the opposite. You clear space in your hard drive, because breathing is just physical. You're kind of rinsing the brain. You're taking away things you don't need, making it opening up. You know, you have, when you go into flow, for example, to be very scientific here, you go into alpha state. Now, alpha state is a special frequency of your brain, and it has shown over and over again on brain scans that you open different areas of your brain, the blood starts to flood, and you think more creatively and you get all your good ideas, because you're not forcing any thoughts. You're not trying to think and outsmart yourself.
Yes.
Which is also why many people get their great ideas in the morning in the shower, right?
Right.
They're not trying to get $1 million idea how to run the company. It comes to them. Stop chasing and let it come to you. So you need to make the ground fertile. You know, you need to water the seeds. You need to breathe correctly, and you need to breathe in a calm way so that your brain opens and you again get the energy to go out and do sports, go out and date again, you know, take better care of your kids, be a good father or mother, but usually soldiers and veterans that I work with. Now, you can have PTSD for many reasons, assaults, rape, many horrible things. But the ones I work most with are veterans, because I work with the military in many different countries, and usually they're men. Women are equally as good. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying 99% of the time we're talking about men, because they're built like machines, they're soldiers, especially in the older way of thinking. So they have been so used to just shooting through problems and putting on a shield, not have emotions, not showing anything. And what we're seeing now is that once they put down those parades and put down the armor and start to resolve the things from the inside, from an emotional perspective, from being soft to themselves with breathing and slowly developing into breath holding. Because what I do with the soldiers and people with trauma, it could also be rape. We have worked with women also that have been raped and molested and violated. So it can lead to a lot of emotional responses that need to come out. It needs to come out of the, it's like the pus in a pimple, you know, whatever it needs to come out. That bad stuff needs to come out. Yes. For the skin to smooth out and heal again. So you need to release this trauma. And in breath holding, what we do is we put people underwater. So it means they float, and I hopefully, you know, coach them and teach them how they can float safely. And I'm there to watch them. So they're confident in that, and they're not going to drown and die. And then you have this warm water around you. It's like being back in your mother's belly. So a lot of innate things come into play, a lot of important neurological stuff.
Yes.
Maybe / spiritual stuff, things you don't even remember from your embryonic state, from before you were a little thinking human being. But you remember the feelings of being soft and being cuddled, hearing your mother's soft heartbeat, you know, all those things you remember somehow as a being, you know, spiritually, we can call it. But then I teach people to become comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. So they have to hold their breath now. That's easy for 10 seconds. We just did that. Yeah. Any grandmother listening here, I hope, is doing breath holding as well. She can do that, but it's not easy to do it for half a minute, and not 1 minute, and not 3 minutes, and not 5 minutes. You know, that's where the struggle begins. So you go from what you in freediving call the easy phase, the first 10 seconds or 1 minute, 2 minutes, whatever it is for any person. Then you move into the struggle phase.
Yes.
Now, this is where the freedive begins. This is where the challenge begins. You know, this is where you grow. So I teach people to become comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, meaning I don't let them breathe. They're underwater. They're not cheating. They cannot cheat, but they still need to stay calm. Mm. Again, back to your main question, is relaxation important? It is paramount. If you cannot relax, you cannot hold your breath. As a matter of fact, I had a great conversation with one of the founders of stress reduced mindfulness. Kabat-Zinn, some people who are listening will know who he is. Jon Kabat-Zinn, he's a world leading figure in mindfulness meditation. So he has MSBR or something. So releasing stress from mindfulness. And he's been very successful. I think he's helped hundreds of thousands of people. But I had a discussion with him, a nice conversation, because we were both training at a center north of New York. Beautiful center. And I had this conversation. His son knew who I was. He was about my age, his son. So he said, oh, you have the world record. You're the first to hold your breath 20 minutes. Yep, that's right. And he said, and then I talked with Kabat-Zinn and I said, my business partner, Bjarne, a great guy from Denmark, he's kind of good with words. So he calls it in Danish, measure by meter. Now that doesn't sound so good. So mindfulness by meters, like you can put a meter on it, like a measurement.
Okay.
So in English, I call it mindfulness by measure, if it makes more sense to the listeners here. So I talked about this and I told Kabat-Zinn, you know, with mindfulness and yoga, I think the main challenge or problem, but let's call it a challenge, is that you can't really measure it. You can measure the brain activity, you can measure the heart rate, but you can't really measure how you feel. you can't really measure if you're more happy. You know, that these guys are in positive psychology. They're talking about all these sides of the positive things of psychology, but it's still very difficult to measure. So I said, with breath holding, you have an incredibly simple way of measuring, and that is time. And it's completely parallel and proportional to your ability to relax and feel happiness. So I said, we call it mindfulness by measure. He said, oh my God, or my gosh, or whatever. I've never thought about that in my life. Now, this guy is a brilliant, you know, expert in psychology. He's a top professor, PhD, probably a doctor of psychology, and has this mindfulness-based stress reduction is what they call it, MBSR. And he had never had that thought, you know, wow, you can actually use breath holding, not breathing, to measure your ability to feel happy and relaxed.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope people get the point. It is so simplistic that it's like, it's almost nuts. It's almost ridiculous. Yes. So simple.
Oh, I love that. Because I have a personal problem that when I do breath holds, after a while, I reach what I would call the panic stage quite quickly.
Well, that's why you're about to head into the struggle phase.
Right, yes. Yeah. But then that it's so strong within me, it makes me not want to go back there. So I have to then really think about it and push myself back there, because I know I've got oxygen. I'm fine. I'm not running out of oxygen. But in the mind, it's such a strong panic.
Absolutely. But you're doing all the things wrong. First of all, you're right. You're saying you're going into this panic state. And that is, of course, where I try to push people, even the Navy SEALs. I had the commander in chief joining us the last time from the SEAL teams in Denmark. Wow. And I can push anybody beyond the breaking point, because everyone has a breaking point in holding their breath, right? No matter how trained you are. So that's a great thing that they can find out they're these superhumans, but they're not. So they also find some humility and some softness inside, and that can be a huge help in healing trauma and so forth. So I'm working a lot with them in many different things. We can discuss some other time, some things I cannot discuss. But same here in Dubai, I'm getting connected with some people that I've signed off I can't even talk about. But very interesting projects going on here also, kind of on that note. But my point is that when you go into panic, you know, that's kind of why I do the ice diving under ice, you know, in that one, if people see it, they'll see that I'm saying, you know, you can't go into panic because panic is what kills. So that's for anything in life. If you go into panic in a relationship, in your business, with your kids, you know, you do stupid things. So you don't have clear thinking. Again, you cannot cure thinking with thinking. You need to relax, breathe or not breathe, and then think for a second. What is my next best step? What is the next move I can do to not go into panic and to not have a horrible, maybe even deadly outcome, right? Mm. So that is where you relax a little bit more. That's what we're expert in freediving, right? Because we're struggling. We're heading up towards I also had the world records of the deepest dive. I didn't mention that, but I was the first to break the 200 feet barrier, unassisted, no fins on, just in speedos, diving into the Caribbean abyss, into the deep blue. So when you're heading back up, it's kind of, I don't know, now we're not all on YouTube, but you see I'm here in the storage here, trying not to drop my computer. It's about 30 floors, right? So this is about the height I would be diving.
Oh, wow.
Something like that, you know, that building over there, maybe.
Yeah, wow.
Down and up. So when you're down there and coming up, first of all, you're very heavy. Your lungs are compressed completely, the size of oranges. And you can't come up. Well, you have to swim and struggle. So if you go into a panic down there, you're never coming up. You know, you're going to drown. So in freediving, we're trained in the most stressful situations to have high level of stress resilience. But it's also the words you're using. You know, you say, oh, then you start to struggle and panic and you don't want to go into that place again. You see, you're doing all the wrong things.
Yeah.
You should just say, you know, I feel uncomfortable, but I'm still curious to go there. You know, if you had that mindset, oh, you would be curious to come back. It's not a struggle. It's not painful. It's not a punishment. You know, it's an intriguing adventure in your body and mind. And then when you then do the baby step method that I always teach, you know, just baby steps, be patient, have persistence,
yes,
you know, and faith in the process that I'm teaching, or other people that you trust that have done things. I like to trust people that have done things, you know, show me the money is my motto, not people that have read a million books, which I'm not a big fan of doctors and people talking too much, you know, show me the money. show me the gold record, the gold medals and your Olympian records, you know, your medals. Then I'll listen. That's me because I'm an athlete, you know. Other people might have a different perspective in life. But when you then learn to relax, you can do so many more things. And with breath holding step by step, you become more resilient to carbon dioxide. So I know you're very well versed in breath holding and in training, and you know all the physiology, like you said correctly, you know you have high levels of oxygen. That's not the problem. Or high enough levels, even though it's dropping slowly, but you still have plenty of oxygen because you can just put a pulse oximeter on your finger. Most people can buy a $20 pulse oximeter and they will see, oh, I'm at 96%, which is almost 100, which means you're fully loaded with oxygen. Your hemoglobin can carry 4 molecules of oxygen on every little wheel. It's like a car that brings all the oxygen around your body. So you're totally loaded with oxygen. But when you're holding your breath, the CO2 rises. Carbon dioxide, the waste product, as we call it. But it's not just a waste product. It does a lot of good things. First of all, it's a vasodilator. It opens your blood vessels. It opens your brain. So that's also why in breath holding, you have these meditative states and even these out-of-body experiences and clear visions, and many, many things can happen. Wonderful things can happen. It opens your brain literally, physiologically. So CO2 is not just bad as doctors think, oh, it's a waste product, blow it out. No, it has many, many beneficial side effects, positive side effects. But if you have a different approach and then you say, oh, now I will just not be too egotistical and too possessive and too want it all now, you know, how long can you hold your breath?
I normally do it with no air in the lungs. So I think I can get to about 40 seconds with no air.
Okay,
in the lungs.
So 40 seconds. Yeah. So, you know, you should just start saying, okay, let's aim for 45.
Yes.
Not like 1 minute and 15. That's like 50% more. So just baby steps. And then your body starts slowly to get accustomed to the higher levels. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do in breath hold training is not just building the relaxation response. That's kind of a positive side effect. You want to build high tolerance of CO2. You want to change the chemoreceptors in your brain and in your carotid artery and these different places in your body to just not respond in the same way. And then your brain is not responding and you're not going into panic.
Yes.
And you can stay in that struggle phase much longer. And I can tell you right now, knowing just a little bit about breath holding, that everyone listening to this podcast or seeing this on YouTube can hold their breath for 2 minutes on empty lungs. Wow. Just by the oxygen in their bloodstream alone. Mm-hmm. Every grown-up human being has between 4 and 5, 6 liters of blood, right? And that has plenty of oxygen to keep you alive and not just alive, but alert, awake, conscious for 2 minutes, right? So that's just to set the bowel low.
Yes.
So anyone not holding their breath for 2 minutes is because they're chickening out. They don't know how to relax. They go into panic, and that's fine. That's a part of the learning process. But everyone should know that 2 minutes is a minimum anyone can do. And we can just start by 1 minute. We don't have to push people, you know, from the beginning. But 1 minute is absolutely doable for any grandmother. One of the last pioneers I trained was an incredible guy called Monk, Dr. Monk. And Mr. Monk has gotten all the laurels in the world. He was a big part of the landing of Normandy. He's an oceanographer. He was best friends with the Dalai Lama. And he has now the Monk Foundation about, you know, protecting the oceans. And when he had his last year years, he lived to almost 102 years. I was at his centennial with the Prince Albert of Monaco, who's a great friend because Albert's father, the former Mount Rainier of Monaco, was a personal friend of Dr. Monk. And by the way, Dr. Monk also was the first to measure waves and sound moving underwater for long distances. And he was giving feedback on the current and the oceanographic situation during the landing of Normandy. So with Eisenhower and all this incredible story.
Wow.
My point is that I was there at his centennial.
Yes.
And the inauguration of the Monk Way is the new way in La Jolla, a beautiful place in Florida. The beach basically has a beach walk. It was called La Jolla Beach Shores before. Now it's called Monk Way. And And when he was 100 years old, a bit before, he developed some lung issues, lung cancer, and just getting very old. So I was actually training him the last 2 years of his life. I wouldn't say rehabilitation. I would see more, I would call it more reinvigoration or rejuvenation.
Okay.
And I was, he had a private pool, so I would put him in the pool. He would do breath holding exercises. And now comes the point. At the age of 100, Dr. Monk held his breath more than 1 minute with lung cancer, severe breathing problems, more than 1 minute.
Yeah.
So let's just that be an inspiration to everyone listening out there. And you know what I asked him? What did you think about Dr. Monk? He said, you know, because he came from Austria, from an Austrian background. And then during the World War, he escaped and he was a brilliant scientist. He came from a banking family, very wealthy family. But he then went to science and became the greatest. He's called the Einstein of the ocean, Dr. Wow. Monk. People can check him out.
Yeah.
But my point is that I asked him, what did you think about? And he said, oh, you know what, Stick? I was back listening to my favorite piece of Mozart, my favorite piece of music.
Yeah.
And he just replayed that in his mind. So again, we're back to flow. Time disappears.
Yes.
You become completely integrated in the action of what you do, and you do not think about the time. And you do not even think about the option of going into panic or that you're in a struggle phase. You're in a completely different way, in a different place. You're maybe at your summer house in Altersee, which was the place he loved in Austria, right? So maybe you go there in your mind, or maybe you see your grandchildren playing or things like that.
Mm.
So it's all about mindset, and then the physiology is secondary or tertiary or quaternary. It's not important. That will come later, but it's all about how you approach the breath holding and how you relax and put a smile on your face. I always teach people to smile, because then you're already more positive.
Yes.
So it sounds like almost like some spiritual journey, which is kind of this, but it's more a mental game than a physical game. The physicality comes after. And of course, my main point is I want to teach people this stuff and the breath holding and the relaxation so they can take that into their life situation, into their whatever stresses them in life. They can remember to hold their breath. They can remember this feeling of being in control of a situation and making the best decision to get the best outcome.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Those are the links. Those are the links I hope people get.
Yes. No, thank you. I interviewed Josef Kerbel, who has the current world record for being in ice. And he broke his own world record 2 hours, 33 minutes. And I asked him about mindfulness and how much of what he does is to do with the mind. And he said 90% of how he achieves his world records is mentally.
How does he know that?
I don't know.
Point is, you don't know if it's 90, 80. I'm just kidding you. But how would he know? How could he measure it? You know?
Yeah.
I'm just joking. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's mainly, room service is coming here, but they can wait. It's mainly, you know, a mental game. Let's just put it that way. Yeah.
Sure. No, very interesting.
But it translates into physicality, translates into your body and how you're staying healthy and strong and sane. But it starts from your mind. Like anything, you know, building this was not here 8 years ago. This is Dubai Marina.
Yeah.
A huge testament, and I'm not a fan of buildings or boats, or I'm not much into technology. I like the technology of the body, right? But still, this was not here 8 years ago. So if some minds hadn't had a big, you know, will to think and dream big, this would not have been here. This was a desert with a few sheep and a camel running around 8 years
incredible,
ago. Isn't that incredible?
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah, what
there's
we can
my
do.
Pool. I'm heading for a swim. You see, I'm
beautiful.
Sweating like a pig.
No, I have one last question for you, Steve.
Yes, two. I'm here.
Okay, thank you. The diaphragm. Can you talk a bit about the power of the diaphragm? And in particular, I see you suck everything in and you get it going all up. So what's going on there when you're doing that? So I'd love to just hear your thoughts about the diaphragm.
Yeah,
please.
Well, we can, like I said, we can show it, right?
Yeah.
Maybe no light. Here it is. Hold on. It's kind of a balancing act here. I'm... maybe too dangerous. Woo! It'll fly out the window. But but anyways, there's a bit of light here, right?
Yeah, I can see.
Okay, let's do it like this. You can see my belly?
Yep.
So the diaphragm is this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What is going on there when you're doing that? Wow.
It's a breathing muscle. And my point is we should all be able to do what I just did and much more, you know, the Nauli, the rotation, all these crazy things. Because it's our breathing muscle. It's what keeps us alive. And when people have tension, stress, trauma, or just not used to working with their body, they don't breathe freely. And this diaphragm is the exact muscle breathing up and down 20, 30,000 times a day.
Yeah.
Another reason why breath holding is so wonderful is that when you breathe out, the diaphragm comes up here. It comes up to your lungs, right? So the breathing, the diaphragm lifts up here. It doesn't live down here, right? That's an inhale. So inhalation is actually stressful. I always tell people in my lectures, they're like, what are you talking about? Inhalation is stressful.
Yeah.
You need to make an effort. But breathing out, the diaphragm comes home.
Yeah.
So the diaphragm needs to be flexible, needs to be strong, and you need to train it to have endurance. Again, like we talked about in the beginning of this fine podcast, it goes with you into your sleep. It goes with you into your running. It goes with you into even your breath holding. So when you find it uncomfortable, you can't breathe, you're going into panic. One reason is that your diaphragm is blocked and locked. So if it's not moving, but it wants to move because it wants to push out the old air, the carbon dioxide, right? Because you're feeling you need to breathe and take in new oxygen. I was doing it very wrongly on purpose, you know. This is how people do it in panic, but you should with your nose, right? You get nitrogen oxide. We didn't talk about that today, but that's a wonderful molecule that gives you antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal help. So it keeps you healthy, but it also opens your blood vessels, gives you more oxygen. I have many articles on my website. People can read about nitrogen oxide. Three people were given the Nobel Prize 14 years ago on the discovery of nitrogen oxide. Not that it exists, but what it does in your body. Yeah. It relaxes your blood vessels, the alveoli in your lungs and your bloodstream. NO is extremely important in our lives, also from the diet we eat and stuff. That's a different topic for another podcast. But the diaphragm, if it's struggling to move and not flexible,
yes,
you don't go with the flow. You don't relax. And that's why people feel panic and they feel like, oh my God, I was dying. I need to breathe. But as soon as the diaphragm starts to become more subtle, more flexible, you can just make it play up and down by itself. But you're still holding your breath. That is one other reason why breath holding is so incredibly important in your breath training, in your breath practice. If you do breath work, you absolutely must also do breath holding. If you don't know breath holding and don't train it, first of all, you're a fool and you're, you know, out of your mind. And second of all, you'll never understand fully breathing, because there's a yin to the yang, right? Mm-hmm. There's day and there's night. You cannot breathe fully if you don't know how to hold your breath. That is why many free divers are so incredibly good at breathing, because naturally they can relax, because if they can't, they're not going to win any competitions.
Yes.
And second of all, they need to breathe properly and optimally to stay healthy and strong. But particularly before they do the dive, if they have not prepped themselves, if they're not been relaxing and breathing in the most efficient way, they're not going to last. They're going to be outperformed basically by others. So breath holding is a great way to relaxation, but also to train your diaphragm. And then again, you will run better. You will, you know, your workout in the fitness center, or your, you know, many people do all this CrossFit and more explosive workout. That is an incredible help when you have a subtle and flexible diaphragm, because I would think most people breathe about 70% of their capacity because the diaphragm is blocked. But if you can breathe 100% or at least 95%, then you get much more out of every single breath. At that, multiply that by 20 or 30,000 a day, you can completely change the energy levels of your life, the sleep pattern, the rest, the recovery when you wake up, the way you recover from illness or from disease or from accidents, mentally or physically, spiritually. So yeah, there are lots of things you can do. I know doctors tell you, you can improve your lung volume, you can get bigger lungs. Of course you can. You can just measure the damn thing and you can see for yourself. And one thing is working with the diaphragm, but also of course the intercostal muscles, those sitting between your rib cage.
Yes.
And you can train that in a million ways. We have it all in Breathology. That it's not just to sell the damn program, but people can get it for free, the programs and the book, but all the exercises are there, very specific, simplistic exercises. So yeah, don't listen to the medical science. They're not doing breath work. They want to sell you a pill or a, you know, quick fix, but they're not doing any preventive work. And I think it's sad, especially the World Health Organization. It's kind of a joke to have this name, maybe we should call them the World Unhealth Organization, but they're not giving any advice on how to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, so I have a really big time beef with these guys that are paid and should be the protectors of people around the world. I have an education, I have freedom, I have money, I can do whatever I want in my life. But there are hundreds of millions of people who don't have the same level of education. They don't have the same options that I do. And they certainly don't have the same people training or teaching them how to stay healthy. And they could, even in the most poor and underdeveloped countries, with little simple things. Now, they do it in their own way with singing or eating different things, you know, staying healthy. But there are many things from breathwork we could train them in. You know, it could also be women in labor, women with pain, many other things. So yeah, it's I'm really on fire with breathology, and you know, we have the next training coming up soon, and it's all virtual, and I'm so excited about finally having an all virtual instructor training program.
Yeah, let's talk about this a bit. Yeah,
it opens up the option for anyone to join. You know, before you needed to travel from Australia or South America, we had a lot of Canadians coming. But now with the travel restrictions, you know, maybe you can travel, but then maybe you can't travel back home. Maybe you can leave your kids for 2 days or 3 days for a weekend training. You know, maybe you're in a hot place in your business, or maybe you want to boost your business or go into a new kind of business, which is more online. And that's also what we train people in. It's not just breathwork. You know, people also, when you become an instructor, you have gone through the whole curriculum, our fundamentals course and our advanced course. Mm-hmm. So we know that they are well trained in our system in breathology and the breathology method, so they can start partnering with us and doing their own business online. So if there's one big good thing Corona has done, it's just catapulted the online training forward. We all miss the physical contact. I'm very tactile. I love touching, you know. Me I love too. Training and teaching people. Yeah. But we also again have to look at the positives, that now we're open up a world where wives at home or young kids, or you know, can start to have either a side career with breathwork and helping other people, or they can just try to get healthy themselves back on track.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. Yeah.
I'll make sure the link's down below so that people can find your website, your YouTube channel, and the instructor course. Stig, is there any other things that you would like to discuss before we finish off?
Not really. I mean, I just hope that people start on a journey. You also have talked about, like we talked about Buteyko, and there are other things like the holotropic breathing. I did train with Stanley Gruff and his now late wife, Christina. Yeah. That's more rebirthing and more wild psychedelic stuff. He's a psychologist working in also in a lot of the LSD environment in the 60s, 70s, taking drugs to have out of body experiences and then using breath work to do it. I've been around the palette of so many different breathing styles, and I'm just fascinated by all of them.
Yes.
Whether it's Patrick McEwen, I never met him, but you know, he's more sports scientifically oriented, and I've heard a few interviews with him, and he's absolutely brilliant, and he knows what he's talking about. I don't know if he's an athlete himself or if he was, but he knows the physiology, that for sure. And there are many different styles of breathing, and my point is, I don't care where people start.
Yes.
Find a teacher that you feel comfortable with. Find one you think you can trust. I think in this day and age, trust is more important than anything. Mm-hmm. Find a person you resonate with, and then just start. You know, it doesn't matter if you start this way or that way or that way. All roads lead to Rome, like yoga. You have Ashtanga yoga. You have the more spiritual yoga. You have many, many styles of yoga, but they all lead to samadhi, you know, to enlightenment. To ultimate freedom. And with breathing, I would think if people just start having a breathing routine every day, a few minutes, and then maybe after your great podcast here, get inspired to start also on a new journey for themselves on breath holding. Yes. Again, we recite the number one rule of free diving and any diving: never dive alone, because you can get so much into it that you actually lose consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's called a blackout, and then you drown.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but if you don't have anyone to fish you out, you're going to die. So, and that's 100% guaranteed. You can't get out if you first drowned. It's not like you wake up suddenly. Some young kids think, oh, I'll wake up and jump out of the pool. No, you will not. You will sleep into the eternal infinity. Yeah. So don't do that, please. But hold your breath on dry land. It's absolutely safe, and it's a great journey. Like I think I mentioned, we have a 7-day challenge. Completely free on my website, breathology.com, and people can join up there under the free programs. and I give my best advice, and maybe they can double or triple their breath hold in a week. That's fun, you know, it motivates yourself. So my advice is just to get started. I don't care what style you choose. I'm sure you have another many videos and podcasts that people have heard. So just get started is my point. One foot in front of the other. Of course, people could start and go and download my book now that we made it for free. If they don't want to read the whole damn thing in 300 pages, they can flip through. There's a lot of nice images. They can see my blood before I hold my breath, after I hold my breath. They can see it totally red before. It's completely brown, like a good Bourgogne red wine after 7 minutes breath hold in a scanner at all sites, signs of devices and tubes in my body. Yeah. And people can just maybe go and see some of the breath stuff and the diaphragmatic exercises that I do, like what you talked about now, and get inspired to start. And then I'm sure you have a ton of other great podcasts I can listen to and learn more about breathing, because you have this great community of breathers or people that follow you. Maybe just start by downloading the book. And if I didn't make it clear, the book also comes with a breath training in Corona crisis. It comes automatically. When you sign up for the book, we send you the program.
Fantastic.
And that is a program I released on the 18th of March, because I was frustrated already after a week of listening to all this nonsense online and the fear and the Corona this and Corona that. And I heard nothing about how you mentally can stay calm, how older people, senior citizens at home that will get isolated, and they did, and they are, how can they stay mentally calm when they don't see their beloved grandchildren for a year? Yeah. How can they have control back to themselves? A lot of what I do is about taking the power, control back to yourself with breathing, financially, mentally, you know, whatever it's important in your life, but taking control back. And we'll see a huge paradigm, a huge shift in the next 5 years with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and all these things where people take the power back.
Yeah.
Fuck the banks. They're not going to rule your life anymore. Now they take money. If you put money in the bank, they have a negative, you know, interest. It's ridiculous. So we'll see freedom that we have never believed we could experience. We'll see a complete shift in the way the world is governed.
Yes.
Politically, and how we govern our health, and how we come back on main stakes and take responsibility for our lives and don't put our health and life at risk and in the hands of other people that have, you know, pharmaceutical, that have other agendas, monetary agendas and stuff like that. So I think the freedom of having your own banks, having your own apps, like listening to your podcast, you know, finding information,
yes,
and going out and educating yourself beyond school, beyond the medical scientific community, catapulted forward, thank God, by Corona, and people getting more ingenuous or more creative now, and wanting a better world, you know, hopefully still taking care of nature, taking care of yourself, working from home, which again brings me to the instructor course, you know, all virtual. You can work from home, make money from home, become your own boss. So the entrepreneurial gene, you know, the entrepreneurial,
yes,
flame will burn more clearly than ever. And I think, what are we now, 2021? By 2024, 5, 6, in 5 years, it'll be an amazing world in the sense of freedom. Mm-hmm. And I also speak about the people that are maybe in underdeveloped countries and that are really struggling. They will find their own way. You know, you already see it with Uber. They can, yes, become drivers. Yes. I've invested in another platform that I don't have to mention, but it's about yoga and breathing and one-on-one coaching. I've invested in like Uber for breathing. So I'm part owner of a big global platform, a tech platform.
Yes.
And people can sign up anywhere in the world and become yoga teachers for free and, wow, make money on that. So you see how everything with tech and it's kind of, it's reversing the economy in many ways, right? And the opportunity. I'm not just talking money. I'm not a money guy. I like money to do things, but I don't, yes, care about money. It's just paper. I like the opportunities that wealth and money give you.
Mm.
And with reversing the economy and kind of changing everything and giving the opportunity to people that didn't have this option 5, 10 years ago, 3 years ago,
yeah,
I think in 5 years we'll see, I don't think, I know we'll see millions of people, maybe billions of people, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people,
yes,
changing into this economy of teaching online, serving online,
yes,
driving online, and the money goes into that little app on their phone, and it's not government control, it's not, you know, all this stuff.
It's a very
exciting so that was
time.
A little that was a little rant, but but that's how I see things yes. going that way.
Yeah, I think so too. I see more and more people doing what I'm doing, starting podcasts, teaching online courses,
yes,
books.
Exactly.
It's a very exciting time, I think, right now to get it away is. From working from a corporation and instead yes. working and being your own boss. So fantastic.
Yeah, instead of getting being a job, you're creating a job.
Exactly. Being a creator rather than a consumer. Stig, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I've learned so much.
Likewise.
I know my yep. audience has. And I'm going to go out there now and you've inspired me to really work on my breath holds. So thank you so yep. much for that.
And, yeah, do it from a place of love and compassion towards yourself. And yes. Remember, be patient and persistent and baby steps. Fantastic. And thank you to everyone listening. To everyone watching on your YouTube channel. And yeah, for any questions, they can reach out to my Breathology team or just go to our free articles and stuff and consume some more knowledge on breathwork and how it can help in their specific situation. Super. And thank you for setting up the time for this. I will jump in the pool now. So let's end by that. And I'll do a little breath hold in your honor, but just a small one since I'm alone. Just swimming one
just
length.
A careful one, yeah. Okay.
Just a one length.
Okay. Well, Stig, thank you very much, guys. Thank you for watching Take a Deep Breath podcast. Make sure you click the subscribe button for Stig's channel. Go to his website, get his free book, get his course, and consider being an instructor. And Stig, once again, thanks so much. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
You're most welcome. Much pleasure. Bye.